I just invite you to come closer, and those of you who have little children, you can run them back to the teachers and then come on closer. This reminds me of the early days, the foundation of Frontline. So God's doing something special here, and he puts a special message, I believe, on my heart to share. Didn't know Pastor Bill was going to do this today, but I just invite you to get your Bibles out and get your notepads out. And then just come on up here. If you're a junior higher, I'm inviting you to stay. Don't go to class. Get your Bible out. If you don't have a Bible, ask someone for one. And we're going to put on the screen up here Mark chapter 1 and chapter 2 up through 17. Okay? And there's a real special something I believe God's revealing today about his presence and his power. That he wants us to hear and get. I'm going to sit right there, honey. So, you know, I don't think we all always get this, how you do kingdom, and God's teaching us more and more, and today is just something new. And not that we have to be a certain way or anything like that, but I do need a light on over me if somebody can do that, because I need to see with a little bit of help with my glasses, so you can leave them dim back there. Yeah? We'll do the video afterwards. When we're finished, we'll bring the kids back in and they can see the video. But just want to go right into Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, thank you. And if you don't have a Bible, I just really encourage you to start bringing it, because I know you have a Bible. So if you don't have a Bible here, start bringing it, okay? Or doing something like that. And we're certainly going to put it up on the screen. But the Lord's been speaking to me very strongly from the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is just a really cool guy who had such close interaction with Jesus. And I believe the way he set up the Gospel is very specific. You know, I think it's great that we talk about generalities. Well, here's what Mark does, here's what Matthew does, here's what Luke does, here's what John does, and it's all different. Everybody gets a piece or part of Jesus, and then we put it all together and get the big picture. And there's truth in that, for sure. I was really drawn to the Gospel of Mark this week because of the insistence, the urgency, the tenacity, really, of his message. And so, thanks, son. Thank you so much. I don't know what to do with it, but you can stick it over here. Thanks. And I was very excited to just consider a little bit more about Mark, what he was like. And he's not really talking about himself in these first 1.5 chapters at all. but he does talk about other things. And what's really cool about him is that he is able and willing to kind of consolidate things. One thing that I noticed about him is that he doesn't spend a whole lot of time, at least in the beginning of the gospel and actually throughout, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time really talking all about the divinity of Jesus and trying to prove that and trying to prove that God exists. He doesn't spend time there. Doesn't spend time there. Hey, Rach, if there's a particular class, let's say with one in, if you can just go back there, consolidate that. You can do it real easily. Okay, put a couple together and then, I don't know the sizes today, but if there is one, I'm just saying if there's something that's, I don't know who's here and how many are here, but that just was on my heart. Just consolidate something easily and then let's do that and have them come in. And so with Mark, He just cuts to the chase. He just goes right after it. He really is amazing. He starts talking about, hey, guys, guess what? There's an event. Jesus came. What do you think about that? And I'm going to talk to you about the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus and how to live, because I want you guys to understand the reality of the times that we're in. And so I'm going to help you on a practical note see more of who Jesus is. Yes, we'll talk about his miracles and his healings and teachings and all of that. But I want you to catch the master in this. I really want you to see what he's like, so that when you're doing kingdom, as we are in 2015, as you're doing kingdom, the reality of who he is just a non-negotiable for us. it's not a debatable point. We don't really need to talk about, is he divine, is he not? He is. And we're going to start there. And that's really cool about Mark. And so, get your Bibles out and open up. If we have it up there, do we have NASB? Did someone? NASB chapter 1 and chapter 2 up through 17. NASB Mark. Okay, 1 and 2. Thanks. And so, one thing that I discovered as I was reading along last night, and there's just been all kinds of things going on in our family life in the last, for a long time, particularly the last month, with, you know, various doctors saying your mom's going to die, and she's going to die now, and she's going to die later, and she's going to die, and all these kinds of things. And those of you who know us know we've been going through a lot of challenges. And my mom's in ICU, and she's been in and out of various places, and this past month has been a challenge that way. But it's very interesting to see what God has to say about things and to actually be able to say, thank you very much. Let's see what God says about this, no matter where we are. Not in arrogance at all, but in reality. So as I'm reading Mark last night, and I'm reading about the stand that he takes for Jesus Christ, and again, not trying to debate and line it up, there's other places in the Bible where God does this, where this is the divinity of Jesus, and here are all your issues and why you can't see it. You know, there are a lot of places that do that. Here, he just comes right in and starts quoting Isaiah. If you have, look at chapter 1, he starts quoting Isaiah, and he starts talking about, can you turn a light on there? It's hard for me to see that for some reason. Man, it's hard for me. There we go. Got it. Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, as Isaiah had said, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So here's a little bit of background, a little bit of setup. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was kind of a wild guy. It says he was clothed with camel's hair, wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, Mark talks about this and sets this up, and you can find this in evidence of other places in the Gospels. And it's very exciting. And you read it in the message, and basically it says, look, Jesus is the star, I'm the stagehand. And I'm here to set this up, and I'm going to let you know the big guns are here, and the event has taken place. Ah, okay. There's no debate. There's no long history of John the Baptist. We can find that in other places. But basically, he starts out saying he's here. Here's how he got here. Here's what he's going to do. He's very intense, Mark. And he's very specific. I found out as I was reading, if I counted correctly, that in chapter 1 of Mark, he uses the word immediately 10 times. So I'm marking my Bible up, you know, and I've read this before, and I've always thought, wow, there's a lot of immediately's. But last night, the Lord was specifically saying, guess how many there are? And read them, and there's a whole meaning behind that. So I wanted to find the first 12. So there's 10 in the first chapter. And then up through, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 8, the second two come, and then there's 12. And then I read through the rest of chapter 2, it's like, at least in my version, I didn't see immediately. I went, God, you're so smart. You've got 12 times, which is the government of God, the kingdom of heaven, you're trying to make a point of immediately, 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 at the get-go of Mark. It's like, what are you doing? And where does it fit? What's this have to do with me if I work in business? What's this have to do with me if I'm home with my kids? What's this have to do with me if I'm still in school? Or whatever it would be. What's this have to do with me? And he says, Mark says, I'm going to teach you how to live in the reality of the kingdom through this book. Not that that's the only book in the Bible. There's 65 others. Okay? But I'm going to teach you it's reality time. The veil has been rent, and you can live that way. You can see your boss through different eyes. You can do your job through different eyes. You can see your children through different eyes. All of it changes when we start thinking about the reality of the kingdom and what it's supposed to be like for us. And now Jesus had the privilege and the honor of walking it out. And he got to call his dudes and dudettes with him. So he called his first disciples in that first chapter, in the beginning of chapter 2. So there turned out to be four of them together, palling around. Okay? So Peter and Andrew and James and John, and it talks about how he called them and how they followed him. It's very exciting. And he continued on calling Matthew, and he just kept the slate going. But within the context of the first 12 immediately's, I thought, you're doing something profound, and it's increasing, and I want to get this, and I want to see what you're saying about the presence. So when I'm singing in a circle around here, or I'm worshiping God at home, and I'm in the presence, that I've got the understanding in the scriptures of what really is going on, what has happened, and what's God's calling me to right now. He's all about setting things up. My mom's been in ICU in and out a couple of times in this month. She's still there. As I was waiting to get in ICU, this is after the doctor saying a variety of things to me, and you know that she's been on life support, and she's off life support, she's off the respirator, praise God, but still seriously ill in ICU, and still with comments made from the doctors. And so it's like, all right, God, what do you say about it? That's all I care about. It's not her age. It's not the condition. It's what do you say about this, and how am I supposed to respond to people? How am I to be aware? How did Jesus do kingdom when he was on this earth? So we've got it set up already that John the Baptist was setting the stage, right? And then it segues, goes right into the fact that Jesus is going to follow in the footsteps of John in the sense that he's going to be baptized. And I'll read it to you in just a second. Well, let's just do that now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But he was extremely sensitive in that he was honoring what John the Baptist was doing, and it immediately goes into his baptism in verse 8:9. It says, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately, hello, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this immediately in verse 10 is very significant because he came up out of the water. He was doing what he was called to do. And what happened? He saw the heavens opened. So there was a connection in the Spirit with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost all together. Here's the God-man. Here's Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, but yet he's connecting completely 100% with heaven. And now you got the Father's heart, the Father's love, speaking over Jesus, saying, hey, you're my Son, and I'm well pleased. How about that? And he could see, and others, I believe, could see the heavens were opening and the Spirit of God was descending. Because it's in here. How did Mark know that? So, you know, God is all about the supernatural living, and he's saying, guess what? I sent my Son so you can live supernaturally. So you're going to do your job in your business career, whatever it would be, in the medical field, supernaturally. And you're going to get up in the morning and live supernaturally. It's going to start there, and there at night, you're going to do it all over again. So how do we do that? How do we keep ourselves from going up and down emotionally? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And from the enemy trying to steal that away. That's his job. That's what he'll do. And he's got to get to us, the Lord, to encourage us, to strengthen us, so we are the influencers wherever we are, even if we don't know what we're doing. Guess who doesn't know what she's doing in the medical arena? Guess who's becoming an influencer? Simply because of Jesus. Okay? And he wants to be speaking by the Spirit. And that's what he was doing with Jesus when he was baptizing him in the Jordan. So, immediately, look at the next verse, 12. Immediately, like, what the heck? Why is that? We all know what the word means. I don't have to define it, right? Okay? All of a sudden, this is it. It's happening. It's not waiting. It's immediately. So there's some extreme significance that God is saying, I'm setting you up to see how I am. I am with you. I am close to you. I'm on your side. I'm in your court. I want to help you. I want to make myself known. I want to make myself real to you. I don't want you to be set up to have to go back and go, wow, I didn't listen to you, Holy Spirit. but you will because you're human. However, I want you to know that I'm ever present 24/7. You can hear me on the spot at that moment. So there's the immediately. Let's think about that. So let's suppose you've got something really taxing. It's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to take this test. I don't know how to. Everybody has those, right? And immediately the Holy Spirit was ever present. Immediately the Holy Spirit was there to say, don't say that. Close your mouth. That's a temptation. It's not for me. Close your mouth. You be the influencer. But you see, Jesus was so close with the Holy Spirit there, coming upon him, living in him, being filled up with the Spirit of God at that time. He was growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Okay? And he just continued on. Oh, I love this. It's so rich. So immediately the Spirit impelled him. Compelled, impelled. What a great word. Pastor Bill and I were talking about that word last night. Immediately the Spirit impelled him. Go out in the wilderness. Okay, great. That means that he didn't know what he was going to do before that. So the Holy Spirit said, guess what? You just got your marching orders. Okay? The Godhead came upon you, is with you. Let's get going. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go into the desert 40 days. Satan's going to tempt you for 40 days. We may go, yeah, that sounds really rough. I don't think we have a clue to what that was like. I'm sure we don't. I don't. We can't. But we can try to and say, God, would you help me see that? So when I get tempted to open my mouth and say something foolish or to step back and react out of emotion and then go, oh, I really don't feel that way. Why did I do that? All the things that we all do are humanness, that we can realize that the Holy Spirit is able to help us stop. And the enemy's job is to prevent that. Simple, simple reality of the kingdom. 2015, simple. Holy Spirit wants to propel us forward where we might feel like the underdog Gideon with people who know so much more than we do. And God's saying, excuse me, if you've been in my presence and you believe what my word says, guess who the influencer is, even in a situation. That's you. Even though you don't know what you're doing, it's okay. Just let me lead you. So Jesus was immediately impelled. Cool word. Use it. Not compelled, impelled. Jesus was impelled. He went into the desert. And what did he say? He was with the wild beasts. He was in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights. With the wild beasts, angels were ministering to him. If they were ministering to him, they better be ministering to us. Okay? We need to be aware of the angelic realm. We need to be aware that they're there to minister to us because it isn't easy, but it's doable, more than doable. Jesus never sinned, and he lived his life out as a man, as the divine God-man. That's the mystery. Okay? So it is possible. It's doable. So we need to say, yes, Lord, it's doable for me. I get up in the morning, I might read this passage of scripture and go, whoa, fill me up. Okay, I need more of you today. I'm not going to sleep in. I'm not going to miss this. I'm not going to go to the gym. I am going to spend time with you. You can do all those things too, but I'm going to spend time with you because I need you and I need your angels to minister to me and I need you, Holy Ghost, to impel me to move forward. In other words, when you're impelling me, I'm going to know it. Because he's doing that. He's God. So he's going to impel as he did Jesus and told Jesus what to do, and he'll do it for us, and he is. So after John had been taken into, custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. And this is after the time in the desert. And if you read the account in Luke, it tells you that he went in the power of the Holy Ghost, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and he came out in the power. So when you get in your little cars in the morning to fight off the snow and go to work, you get up with your kids or whatever it is, you are to walk in power, not wait till 3 in the afternoon. Me too. This is a word to me, because this is what Jesus was doing, and he learned that in his very, very challenging season. So he went into the desert and he came in the fullness and he came out in the power. So Mark just kind of skips that, but you can read it in Luke if you want. And he says, The time is fulfilled, because he's preaching the gospel of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That means turn and start walking a life of faith. No matter how you feel, no matter how down you feel, whether your meds are taking kicking in or not, I'm serious, and I'm not faulting meds. I'm all over that. But I'm serious. Irregardless of what your physical or emotional body is saying, this is how we are to think. This is how we are to live. This is where we get our help. This is where we go, and we render that a non-negotiable in our life. We've got to be so filled up with the Word, so overwhelmed with the Spirit of God and the Word, that we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing as we're in the presence of God. Believe in the gospel. He doesn't say just hear it, but believe. As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Peter, it says Simon, and Andrew, the brother of Simon. So here's Jesus in the sea of walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees these guys casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." I will make you become, not make you fishers of men, make you become fishers of men. Look at that. I will make you, I, Holy Spirit, Jesus, will make you become. You believe in me, you repent, you turn, you believe, you say, I will have faith in you. I will make you. I will make you? I don't have a choice. If we move the direction that Jesus is saying, he will see it through in us. And so what's the enemy's job? To steal it away. And if we've ever walked in a measure of it, the enemy has to try to steal it away because we're dangerous. That's why we measure our lives against what happened 1 month ago, 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. You see? Because the enemy's job is to water us down and to steal it away. He has to, and he tried for 40 days with Jesus, and he lost. Okay? But he came back at an opportune time. He didn't give up. He just went, this ain't working. And he came back, and he kept going. So Jesus had to contend with that the rest of his life on earth. Amazing. So he says to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. Immediately, they were in the presence of God. He chose them, and he has chosen us, and immediately, without question, without mental repudiation, he said, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately followed. Immediately followed. So, Lord, when I get up tomorrow morning, if there's, and just make your list, this is what I do. This is how I do kingdom. He might change that because my kids have to go to school, or my husband has to go to work, or my daughter has to do this, or you name the list, or I have to go to school myself, or I have to do a job, or whatever it is. He's saying, let today change you. Let today be a day where you're not just crying out, Lord, increase my hunger, which we did, we should, and it should always be, okay? But in addition to that, drive the stake in the sand and say, I'm going to be a doer and a reader of the Word and in your presence, in your presence. I have not read your Word. I have not relished your Word. I have not seen it as gold. And God, this is 2015, and that's changing for me right now. And I'm going to get from you in this Word what you already have released. And my spirit's going to get more than even what I'm getting today because I'm going to be in your presence. And I'm going to change the way I do kingdom. He might put something on your heart. He might prompt you to go do something that doesn't fit the program. And he says, will you hear me? Will you be impelled? He might say, look, your child will be fine. Go call this person and do that. Would we do that? Or would we say, no, that's not what I do. This is the season to change. Let me give you a practical example of what happened. When I was at the hospital this week, on Monday actually, my father needed some blood. So he's in third floor, Altman, getting blood because he's had a very rough week or month. And he was in bad shape. Getting blood. My mother's in ICU down the hall. I know the third floor and the people there quite well. So I'm there and I'm going back and forth. So I'm standing outside of the doors of ICU, and they closed it for a short time to be able to change shifts. So I'm standing there, and there's this guy out there. And I said, hey, what's going on? Who are you waiting for? Who are you going to, wanting to get in to go see? And he said, oh, my friend, kind of fiance, girlfriend. I said, what's going on? She's on a ventilator. She's on life support. She's dying. She's not going to make it. It's really bad. I was like, Paul. I said, hey, my mom was on a respirator. She's off. I'm really sorry. And then I got called to go back. I had to go back. I said, we'll talk again. But I didn't forget. It's like, wait a minute here. What's going on? God was setting something up. So I went back, took care of what I needed to take care of, went back to ICU then, okay, and just went back and forth, you know, do-do-do-do-do, what's going on here. At the end of the day, I saw him from a distance and down the hall, and I just kind of waved because I had my dad in a wheelchair. It wasn't the time. I'm asking Holy Spirit, what should I do? He said, not to talk. Do what you're doing is what I'm calling you to do. But be aware. Be willing to be impelled and compelled. Very next day, ICU. I'm talking to a social worker about all kinds of things, and I'm actually in a waiting room, and I hear somebody cry. It's like, oh, my heart. Oh, my heart. Because there have been a whole lot of tears, you know, in the last couple of months. Very sensitive to that. Very compassionate for that, towards that. And I said to the social worker, and I said, oh, that just hurts my heart. Yeah, I know. Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Wait, okay? So where's the immediately in this? It's coming. Holy Spirit, or social worker leaves. Goodbye. I stand up, find my way to find who's crying. Or maybe it's not the same person. I don't know. Go into another part of the waiting room. There's two girls. They're granddaughters of the lady who's on the vent. I didn't know that. In a way, I did, because I looked at them. I didn't know it for sure, but in my spirit, the Lord was telling me, these are the girls, these are family members. So I said, I'm sorry, are you guys okay? Well, my grandma is on a ventilator, and she's dying, and they're going to take her off the life support today, and she's going to die. And I said, this is the lady down in room, da-da-da-da, yes. So then I knew that was a confirmation. So I was like, all right. I said, so does she have a pastor? Or a church or anything? No, she's not into any of that. She didn't have anybody. Okay, that was a distraction. It was the truth, but it was a distraction. Because the Lord says, I want you to be about my business, even in the midst of the things that you're doing. So I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'd be willing to just go see her. Only if you guys, you know, you think that's a good idea. And they looked at each other and they said, God changed the circumstance right at that moment. And they said, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good idea. I said, okay. I said, can I pray over you? Yes. Put my hands on them. I sensed they weren't believers. I'm praying for them. And I prayed many things for them, but also that the Lord would reveal himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, would reveal himself to their grandmother so that she would come to know him. That's what I said. And that she would come into the family of God, come into the kingdom of God. She would know him for all eternity. So I'm praying salvation over these girls for their grandmother. And they're smiling and happy, and it was good. So that was that. Went back in to do what I need to do with my mom and all the doctors and all of that. And I wait. Okay? I was on a schedule to be with my father and do something else at 2 o'clock. So I'm looking at the clock going, God, what am I supposed to do? Holy Spirit, lead me. My mother starts going into a negative spin. My heart, the daughter's heart, is like, I can't leave her side, but I will leave her side. So I prayed what God told me to pray over my mother, which was very direct at that moment, to change the circumstance, which it did. And I immediately left. I went down the hall and I stood outside the room. There were four women in the room, and they said, they looked at me and they said, are you the lady who's supposed to come and pray for my mom? The message had already gotten to them. And I said, I am. The lady, it was really interesting because I suited up, because you have to do that with a mask and the whole thing. So I suited up and I went in there, and her name is Michelle. And I looked at all the people, and they're brokenhearted. Mom, we love you. You're going to die. Da, da, da. And I looked at her. She's on a ventilator. And I said to her many things. And I said to her, I'm here. to offer you Jesus. I didn't say, do you know him? I already knew, because God set it up. And I said, I don't know what the Lord's going to do right now for you in the area of healing, but I do know that he's drawing you into his arms of love right now, and he wants to bring you into his family. He wants you to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. He wants you to know that he loves you and that he forgives you and that he has new life for you. And if you are not physically healed right now, in this season, you will live with him in eternity, irregardless. And I said, irregardless of what happens right now, you will know him. You will live and have eternal life. Is that what you want? I will pray for you. She nodded her head. So I prayed salvation over her with all of her seemingly unsaved relatives there. Prayed salvation over her, and they told me that they were going to turn off the respirator and she would die. At that moment, that was the impelling of God. So I walked out of the room, and everybody was kind of happy. The one daughter walks out, and she says, when my mother was 16 years old, she gave me up for adoption. And then 22 years later, we reconnected. And she could never forgive herself for doing that. And I told her, Mom, it's really okay. It's really okay, but she could never forgive herself, and she never wanted anything to do with a pastor or church or anything else. And I asked her earlier today, would you like someone to come pray for you? No. But then I asked her again, which is during the time that all this was happening, where I prayed over these girls and said, God, prepare her heart, that you would make yourself known to her, that you love her, so that I can go. And that's what God did. And so this daughter's telling me, so I said, Mom, there's a lady who's going to come pray for you if you want that. And she nodded her head. You see how God's setting this up? This is the midst of very serious things going on. And God is saying, I want you to hear what I'm saying, what I'm doing right now. Because I'm nobody special. I just happen to be there and willing. That's it. And I love Jesus just like you. You and I are the same. He's no respecter of persons. So guess what? They took the tubes out. 24 hours later, she's still there. I haven't been to the hospital yet. I'm leaving right after. This was yesterday. And I went back and waved to her. I said, hi, Michelle. 24 hours later, I don't know what's going on. I don't know God's plan. I don't know his mind. I just know that this is what he said to do. Is that amazing? Do you see what I'm saying? That the gospel of Mark is a reality for all of us right now. These are the immediately's of listening to the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. This is what the immediately is about. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Don't go with, I feel like I've got to take care of this person, that person, do. Whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's shoveling the walk, whatever it is, get the go from the Holy Spirit, because he will lead you and guide you. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what Mark's trying to say. And that's what I believe the message is, as I was getting, and I'm sure there's more, that this immediately, all the way through the first 12 immediately, is all about that. It's like, whoa, I get it. Holy Spirit, you are so big. And if we've missed some of those moments, say sorry, God, and move on. God is not going, see? That's not how he is at all. I've missed plenty of them, trust me. So follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, who were also in the boat mending the nets. So he's, you know, they're a little bit down the road. They're in the boat. I don't know if it's the same boat. It says the boat. I don't know if there's two boats and they're hooked together. It doesn't matter, but they're in the boat. They're mending the net. And Peter, Simon Peter, and Andrew were in either that boat or a close boat. So they're also in the boat mending the net, so it seems like it's one. Immediately, he called to them. Holy Spirit was saying, Jesus, call them. Jesus, these are the ones. Jesus, you're my God man. You're my son. Jesus, here's what you need to do. So immediately, he responded to the Holy Spirit. That's the immediately. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. So not only did Jesus do what he was supposed to do, but James and John responded, because there was such a strong emphasis from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus' presence, and also God's intent, and James and John followed. It's like, this is amazing. This is so supernatural living. These are not robots, these are real people. But they immediately followed the voice of the Holy Spirit that was coming upon them from Jesus. Yeah. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. So here's Jesus' job now. He preaches, he teaches, he heals and delivers. That's his job. And he'll tell you about it a little bit further. And he says, "We entered the synagogue, I began to teach." So he's going into the Jewish powers that be, with the powers that be there, and also the regular folk, if you will. But he goes into the synagogue, their place of worship. He begins to teach. Look at the response. Now watch the setup. They were amazed at his teaching, of course. It's anointed, thank you. They're amazed at his teaching, and he was teaching them as one having authority. They were able to recognize the spiritual authority even though they didn't know him yet. And not as the scribes. In other words, he was way above anybody, obviously. Just then, so as a result of being in the presence of God, just then there's a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Now get the progression here, at least in this gospel. This is the first manifestation of the kingdom of God other than Jesus himself calling his people. That's kind of big right there, because there's immediately before this immediately, right? So notice the immediately. Notice the Holy Spirit is in control. And Jesus is letting him. And so are the other people that came in contact up to that point. So, the first manifestation of a miracle, I really don't believe is just this. It's actually calling his people. Okay? But as far as the miracles as we see them, as we understand, yes, this kind of miracle. So, what is it? It's an unclean spirit. And he cries out saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I know who you are. So some major demon is speaking, and there's other cohorts with him inside of this man, right? Are you coming to destroy us? I know who you are. Jesus rebuked him saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." So that's Jesus' job. So he told them to be quiet because he said, "I don't need you to speak. You're nothing but evil and you're nothing but a pain. So don't speak." Sometimes we have people that say things to us by unclean spirits and we let them speak. And we don't say, "Be quiet. Do not speak about this person or that situation like that. Stop." We need to. In the right way, in the right time. Jesus was addressing this unclean spirit at that time, and he was led by the Spirit of God. But we've got to see where we are and how we're to be aware of what's going on. Yeah. Jesus rebuked him and said what I just said. They were all amazed, so they debated amongst themselves, saying, "What is this?" They start debating. A new teaching with authority. What are they debating? Is this God? Is this not? I mean, they debated? What the heck is that? A new teaching with authority. Well, some of them agreed with that. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Duh. So they see him at work. Immediately, look at this. The news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Jesus knew that. He knew that would happen. He was okay with it. He did what he was supposed to do at that moment. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew, Simon Peter, with James and John. So they're all going there. After they came out of the synagogue, God said, "Look, here's what you need to do next. Here are your marching orders." Now Simon's mother-in-law, so he was married, Peter was married, she was sick with a fever. And what happened? Immediately, they spoke to Jesus about her because they were led by the Spirit. And he came to her, he raised her up, he took her by the hand, fever left, and what did she do? She served. Notice this. As soon as she was free, she did what she was called to do. She served. She waited on them. It's like, whoa, I'm getting this, God. You want me to be in that state because you want to raise me up. You don't want me sick because I can't serve you and serve others, right? So that's your heart. You're the healer, Jehovah Rapha. I may not understand everything, but You want me to serve you. Serve you. Whoa, let's think about that one. The way you want me to serve you. When evening came after the sun had set, they began bringing to him everybody who was ill and those who were demon-possessed. Okay, so everything happened at night here. Sun had gone down. So now these guys are getting it. Like, oh my gosh, this is really an amazing person. Let's get everybody here, all the sick people, all the demon dudes. And the whole city gathered at the door. Now look at this, the whole city. Whatever little town they were in, they all come to the door. I mean, who knows how many that is. He healed many who were ill with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. So here's, he's doing his job, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was and who he carried. Come on. It's like, no, I'm not going to let you get to square one. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. So here he got up. Holy Spirit told him. Got up. He left the house. He went away to a secluded place. He's praying there. So Simon, Peter, and his companions searched for him. They're looking for Jesus. And they found him, and they said, everybody's looking for you. And what does Jesus say? Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby. So I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. Can I read that again? So that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. Because he already did that last night. He preached to the whole town, didn't he? And he healed everybody. And he delivered everybody. So he moved on. What a smart God. But he got his marching orders from being in the presence of the Father. Where are we? And he went into the synagogues throughout all Galilee. What a good place to go. I guess he likes our churches. Preaching and casting out demons. Our worship should be so strong and high and moving that way and so word-based, which it is. Okay? That people are getting healed, delivered, saved, increases are happening. And that's the desire of this house. And the enemy does not like that because we believe it. We really believe it. And God is saying, let's take a look and see how much do we believe of the gospel? And are we stepping into it? Have we been tainted in any way? Are we as wild and crazy as we used to be? If those of us have been in this for a long time, I don't know. I ask myself that. And then I wait and let God show me about me. And that's okay. So here, watch this one. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees. This is not the crowd deal now. So he went from the crowd. Of course, he was with Simon Peter's mom and took care of her, you know, so she could serve. But mainly he had been working on the crowds. And who's he trying to really grow up in the faith? Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were to become like him. And also, he's supposed to go into the synagogues and minister in fullness to everybody else. And the religious people are going to debate. And Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John had their own little story of religion going, and they got to watch Jesus work while he chopped off the religion in their life for the whole 3 years he was ministering. So when the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, he says, if you're willing, so he recognizes he's Jesus, he recognizes he's doing mighty things, falls on his knees and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He still didn't know how God's will worked. He said, if you're willing, you can. And he goes, hey, listen, let me tell you who I really am. Not only am I willing, I will do it. So you don't know that yet, but I'm going to show you because you're just saying, help me if you can. I think you can. He says, let me show you what real faith looks like in action. Watch this. And so he says, moved with compassion on this leprous person, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. The will of God right here, not just for the leper, for healing, right there. I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, receive is what he's saying. I am willing, be cleansed. What happens immediately? Holy Spirit moves through Jesus, upon Jesus. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, what did Jesus do? He warned him. He said, okay, here's something else. I'm going to warn you. In other words, I'm going to tell you, I'm Jesus, you're not. Here's what you need to do. You just got cleansed. Here's how you need to handle it. He says, he was sternly warned, and immediately, Holy Spirit said, sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. I mean, if Jesus said that, would you listen? See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. Offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In other words, go to the religious people who are still under the law and go give them an offering which will add a validation of what has just happened, because that's how it works under the law. So go do your part since you've been healed, and that will help them believe, because he cared about all these scribes and Pharisees and everybody else, and he wants them to get it. He doesn't want their religion to stop them from realizing, huh, heaven just showed up. So he told this leprous or former leprous man what to do. The guy ignored Jesus. Incredible. But but he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that it hindered Jesus. Look at that. It hindered the Son of God. Have you ever been hindered by anybody doing what they're not supposed to do with their big mouth? I have. How about you? But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. So this person who ignored what Jesus said, this person was used against the cause of Christ. So Jesus wasn't even able at that time to go into the city to do what he was supposed to do. Think of the people who didn't get the word of the Lord. Think of the people who couldn't experience the miraculous because Jesus, it wasn't even safe for him to go in. You see, when we make mistakes and we don't listen and listen to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, it affects other people. So yeah, that guy was leprous and maybe he kept his cleansing. I don't know. Don't know. But it hindered other people. That's why Jesus sternly warned him and said, shut your mouth. He did it because he knew other people would be hurt. And also the former leprous guy. Do you see? Think about this. Think about this. Think on these things, as Andy would say. Stop and think, as the guy in Mozambique had on his booty in the movie that Andy would talk about. Andy picked that up. And that was a message to Andy that Andy gave to us in the video. Okay? It's a message for all of us. Stop and think. This leprous, former leprous guy didn't stop and think. And it would have, if he disobeyed Jesus, disobeyed the Holy Spirit, that will hurt him, but it also hurt other people. Can you see that? It's like, whoa, God just cares. He's moved with compassion. He's on our side. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. He wants to strengthen us and the people around us. He wants us to be lifted up. He says, you are my kids in whom I'm well pleased because you've got my spirit living on the inside of you. I love you. So if you messed up, say sorry, move on. But I love you. Come on, let's go. Look what Jesus was like. You can do this. Just walk in the immediateness of listening to the Holy Spirit. We're almost finished here. Can we have the next part, please? Thank you. We have 17 verses we're going to skate through here. When he had come back to Capernaum several days after, so he came back because nothing stops the plan of God. Catch this part. These people, they had to suffer a little while longer, but he came back. But he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do initially. When he came back to Capernaum several days after, it was heard that he was at home. And many gathered together, wouldn't you know? So there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. So Jesus is speaking it out. And they, you know, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Okay, the ante has been upped. Okay, here we go. We did the leper, we did the fever, We called a few people in. We've been preached. Jesus has healed many. Jesus has delivered people of unclean spirits. This is really cool. Now we have something a little more weird. Maybe. I don't know. The unclean spirit was pretty weird, right? But this is now a healing that they haven't seen like this, perhaps. We don't know. It doesn't say it in that passage. So, where are we here? What number? B, yeah, yeah, yeah. And many were gathered together, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, being unable to get to him because of the crowd. They removed the roof above him. Can you imagine this? Everybody in here, most people in here know this, I should say, if not all. And when they dug an opening in this roof, they let the pallet down on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, verse 5, in the message it says, Jesus was drawn to their strong, bold courage. Jesus was drawn to them. Jesus was drawn to faith. Jesus was drawn to boldness. Jesus was not saying, hey, look, these are people who are doing what they normally do. No, these are people who are doing what they don't normally do. These are people who want to listen immediately to the Holy Spirit. So he gave them an idea, and they did it. And they changed the way they were doing business. Maybe they were drawing water for their wife every day at 10 o'clock. And that's what they do. But this day it was different. Can you see? They changed their kingdom reality because they had heard about Jesus. They were willing to change. They were willing to do something different. God is saying, I'm going to get you all out of your rut. First you. My rut. I listen to you. I have immediates. And he goes, you haven't seen anything yet. Oh. How about that one in the hospital? Working for you? A woman's going to live with me forever? Give me a few more of those, God. A lot more of those. But let it be in the morning. When I open my eyes, what do I do first? Okay? And maybe my people that I work around and support and love, maybe they're just not going to be the priority at that moment. Do you understand? Maybe these guys who lowered the paralytic, it's possible they have little kids at home. But Jesus was over here, and they did what Jesus said. You got to hear this with the spiritual ears because God is saying, I want you to change. I want you to change. I like what you're doing, but I want you to grow in the immediately because life will start to change. It will look more different or look differently. It's like, okay, I don't understand. I know. Trust me. Spend that time with me and listen because when you listen to my spirit, you're going to be impelled to do different things than you do already. Wow. Well, that's ministry and family, and we just have to keep that separate. Really? You see what I'm saying? This is about the Holy Spirit. This is not a message on, let's do more work. This is a message on, let's walk in immediately, and God is going to lay it out for us, and he's going to show us what that really looks like. And it will all be balanced when it's really Holy Spirit, but he has to be able to speak to people who will be willing to change, who will be willing to hear, who will be willing to be impelled by the voice of the Holy Ghost. But we have to be willing to do something that we haven't done before. That's the only way, because this is what he's trying to teach Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now to finish it up, okay, where are we here? Son, he says, Jesus seeing their faith, thank you for that. John, Jesus seeing their faith said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I think everybody was completely shocked. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, those little Pharisees, why does this man speak that way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew that. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit, right there, circle that in your mind forever, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, he responds because he's aware in his spirit. Why are you reasoning? Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick your pallet and walk? In other words, he's going to mess with the religious minds of everybody there, even the most sincere. Not just the scribes and Pharisees, it's going to be everybody. What do you mean forgive sins? That's crossing the line. I mean, I know you healed the lepers, and I saw some demons doing weird stuff, and I'm glad they're in their right mind, but forgiving sins? Only God can do that. Blah, 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 blah. And so this reasoning is going on in the mind, you see? And Jesus knew it, so he's going one step further, and he's doing it for everybody, not just them. Peter, Andrew, or Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John as well. These are the only ones who've been called so far. Immediately, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. He got up and immediately picked up his pallet, went out in the sight of everyone so that they were all amazed and they were all glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. That's our job, that people will be around us and people will be able to say, I have never seen anything like this. But Jesus had to trump even the physical healing that they were waiting for. Can you imagine their mouths going, oh, here comes a pallet coming down through the roof. What's Jesus going to do? And he completely wrecks them and says, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. Huh? I'm going to mess with you again. So when you wake up in the morning, if you say, hey, Jesus, mess with me, guess what he'll do? He'll mess with us. He'll mess with us. And to finish it up now, 13, he went out by the seashore and all the people were coming to him and he was teaching them. Just what a guy. Man, what a God. As he passed by, he saw Levi. Now this is Levi, Matthew, coming in. The son of Alphaeus is sitting in the tax booth and he said, follow me. It doesn't say the word immediately, but I think you get the gist after 12 times. Okay? And he got up and he followed him. He looked at him and said, come on, Matthew, tax dude, come on. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Who's he got? He's got the little crew of 2, 4, 5, right? So now it's Jesus and 5 others, a little group of 6 going on. Nice. And they're buddies. And his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. And when the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? And hearing this, Jesus' ears are great, he says, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and close, and I exhort you to read the rest of Mark, and maybe we'll pick it up again. But read it with a new jump start, if you will. I was in prayer for hours last night with a very special friend who believes we can go after the things like this. I called to find out how my mom, who hadn't been changing over the days, and her respiratory rates and the amount of oxygen that she needs, all of it was decreased. I mean, it's really good. That's really good news, first time. So yesterday the doctor said, to give her a chance, we can move her into a special place, which they're planning on doing tomorrow, Lord willing. The day before that, they were basically sending her home to who knows what. There was definitely a change. It's like, what? I just got that this morning on the way here. We serve a big God. Whatever the outcome is, we're going for it. Do you want to be a person who will lower the pallet of someone that you want to see raised? Are you going to let someone who does pass into eternity for whatever reason be your main thrust for how you look at what God's word says? I can't. You can't. Whether my mom lives or she dies, eventually she will die. But whether she lives or dies in this season, my hope and my trust is in this. And I want to be one, and I know you're the same, to say, Jesus, I want you to see my faith, real faith, and I want to be one who will lower the pallet through the roof. Whatever that looks like, because I love you, and be ready for you to mess with my religious mind at times. But I'm big enough to want to say that to you because I know that I'm nothing without you. Do you see the difference? Don't base your theology for healing, for deliverance, for salvation on what you see around you. Base your theology on what Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, that the gospel of the kingdom is written for us here. So we praise and worship God, and we start moving that direction. Some of us may have lost that wild and crazy, wah. We need it back. And we need the immediately, because the Holy Spirit has not stopped speaking. So Father, we just lift our hearts and our minds and our wills to heaven right now. And we say that we are hungry for you. We're hungry for the fullness of what you paid the price for, Jesus. We're hungry for the fullness of living with a kingdom thrust and a kingdom mentality that is not based on our experience, that is not based on what others have done or not done, that is not based on what we've seen and not seen, that is based on who you are, what your word says, and that we have a firm resolve today, Lord, that we will be people who stand in the gap. We will be your intercessors who will believe for the impossible, who will believe for the miraculous, who will stand on what the immediate word of the Lord is to us by your Spirit. We thank you for that. We thank you for this impartation today, because you have spoken to us and shown us that you're bigger than what we've ever thought before. And may that increase tonight and tomorrow for all of us in the rest of our life. In Jesus' name, be encouraged and be strengthened today that the demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom is a big deal on God's heart, and he wants to use me and you in ways way beyond. Don't limit how he wants to use us. Be willing for the immediate, please. Amen.